Okay, you still there?
Yep.
Okay. So first I want to go into the tour that you just got off.
Okay.
With Shaman's Harvest and Any Given Sin.
Cool. Yeah, that was a awesome tour. They're all on Mascot, they're Mascot bands, and I've known Nate from Shamans for years. We played shows 10 years ago, and we've kept in touch. So it was a lot of fun, and I think that their fans enjoyed us, and our fans enjoyed them, and it's always good when you have that crossover. It's like we're very different types of bands, but we're also similar as well. So it worked out good for everyone.
Yeah, I can see how the music kind of lines up similar.
Yeah, it's like blues based. You know, Shamans is more in the country world, but we are, you know, more in like the old school metal world. Any Given Sin is more radio based.
Yeah. Were there any shenanigans you guys got yourself into on tours?
I mean, there are always shenanigans. I think Crobot, we are basically shenanigans. General, you know, I said in an interview, like, I forget what it was, but I said that everything, like, our music is somewhat serious. We take our music seriously, but absolutely nothing else we refuse to take seriously because, you know, rock and roll is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable, and the moment we're not having fun doing this, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it anymore, you know? So we really work to make sure that everyone that we're with, everyone we're around when we tour, like everyone's having fun and getting paid as much as we can possibly pay anyone because there's not a lot to go around. So we do everything we can to make everyone happy. But yeah, the last show, Shamans was on their last song and we all got in our underwear and stole their backup guitars and acted like we were playing with them. And that was pretty funny.
Thanks. Yeah. I remember you guys at the center. I think you guys are probably the most lively band in the media tent.
You know, sometimes we get drunk and just act like teenagers, 36-year-old teenagers.
It's the best way to be, though. The last time Shaman's Harvest came through Jacksonville at Hooligans, they're talking about this story where they got drunk and Nate was trying to naked wrestle the gator that was out back.
Oh, my God. That sounds terrifying and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just trying to think of, like, I mean, if on this tour, I mean, I know I'm forgetting something, but I'm sure there were, I don't know, if it comes to me, I'll let you know, but there were some, it was a fun time. I don't think anyone tried to wrestle a gator, but maybe next time.
It might be one of those things you have to get to that level of intoxication to remember.
Right, yeah, all the really fun stuff's forgotten.
Yeah. They proved that theory on Beer Fest.
Yes.
But I just want to say congratulations on your new album. I've listened to it through and through a couple of times. I really love it. What I know is kind of your COVID project, but what went into it?
Thanks. You know, we write a lot for each record regardless, and a lot of it is remote just by the nature of, like, where we are in our lives. And so it wasn't that much different from any other records except for us. We had a lot more time. You know, when we did finally get in the room the week before we went into the studio, we jammed a bunch of brand new songs, and, you know, two or three of them made the record. You know, Without Wings, Living on the Streets, those songs were all written right before we went in, and they were organic, just jams like we've always written. But for the most part, you know, I'll write all the music, Brandon writes all the vocals, and we go back and forth, and then we'll have like a pool of 40, 50 songs, and yeah, then we pick from there, and we jam them out in the room with the guys and see what feels the best, and that's sort of how this record came to be. It's like, we pick the best of the best, and yeah, so there's still a lot of songs that we thought were better or thought that, it's just hard to just make decisions. That's why you have a producer and a record guy to help you make those decisions, because we're horrible at that. We could never choose.
What do you do with the songs that don't make it? Do you save them for down the
Well,
road, or do they just never see the light of day?
they usually never see the light of day. I mean, we have them all, and a lot of times you just outwrite yourself. You move forward writing, and you're more excited about something that you're working on in the present. But when you look back and listen to some of these other songs, like sometimes they'll show ahead. Like we recorded one song that didn't make the record, but we recorded it in the studio, so it might be like a deluxe track thing. But it's called When Planets Collide. I mean, that was written in 2015 or 16, and that was just a favorite that we would always talk about and play when like everyone's drinking. They're like, "Remember how awesome this song was?" And it was just so heavy, and we had recorded 14 songs, and then we had enough time to record that one with the producer and make it sound huge, and that's what we did. So yeah, in that case, the song got to see the light of day, as opposed to, our demos don't sound near as good as when we actually record a record. So.
Do you have a favorite one that you like to play off the record?
Off of this record,
Yeah.
it goes back and forth. I mean, from the get-go, Dizzy was one of my favorite songs, and no one really, like our singer Brandon, he was like, "I don't know if it'll make the record." I was like, "This has to make the record." From the moment we wrote it, I thought it was a phenomenal, like just all around crowbot song. It's powerful. It's got big riffs, big vocals. But yeah, right now I'd say Dizzy or Without Wings.
Okay. I really liked Electrified. And
Yeah, that was our Judas Priest ripoff. Well, I mean, it's actually Neon Nights was what we were going for when we wrote that song by Black Sabbath.
yeah, it's just fun. Like that's the best way to open the record.
Yeah, well, for us, like we're a mid-tempo type of a band. Like we've always sort of found comfort in clutch style groove, where it's just like laid back, simple grooving, and we don't have a lot of fast songs. And we try to consciously write a few fast songs for each record, and sometimes they don't make the record. But this one was like, we said we need an opener song. We need a fast, energetic opener, and yeah, this is what came out of it. Excuse me,
Bless you.
allergies are killing me.
This is pretty bad this week. I have to take Zyrtec every single day.
Oh my God, me too.
So I see that you guys are doing Psycho. Is that the only festival you guys are doing?
We're doing Psycho and then Taste of Madison, JJO in Wisconsin, but we're gonna tour around it. There's a couple tours that we're looking at doing. We just have to pull the trigger and make that decision soon. But yeah, we're gonna tour around those, and yeah, we're excited to play Psycho. A lot of our favorite bands are gonna be there.
Nice. So then a new tour is going to be announced soon-ish.
Yeah, it will be very soon. We had one ready to go. It was a headline tour with a really cool opener, and then we had another opportunity arise that hadn't went came through yet. It's like an opener for a bigger band, so we're just sort of waiting to see what pans out.
Nice. So what can fans expect when they do see you on tour? You know, either this last one that you just wrapped up or the one that's to come.
Yeah, I mean, we hatch our singer out of an egg for every show. You know, there's a lot of, like silly prop stuff. You know, it's sort of like Spinal Tap meets Iron Maiden, meets Gwar. Just not as extreme. Yeah, so it's energetic, it's fun, and yeah, our singer wears a lot of spandex, a lot of glitter.
That's funny you mentioned Spinal Tap. I was just watching that this weekend, and I just kept thinking of Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, the spirit of Spinal Tap, I think, is what we're going for. You know, like I said, it's, the music's not a joke, so it's not like, you know, nothing against Steel Panther. I love Steel Panther, but mm-hmm. their music, it's funny. The lyrics are funny. You know, our music isn't like that, but our when you come and see us live, it's entertaining and fun.
Yeah, I was actually studying the lyrics to this album, and it's I like that you guys have kind of like serious themes and serious lyrics, but a fun melody.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess you don't know you're getting punched in the feels.
Right, you know, I think Brandon has a 4-year-old daughter who's obsessed with Taylor Swift, so whether he likes it or not, some of those melodies found their way on the record.
Nice. I mean, that worked for I Prevail. Covering.
Oh yeah, I mean, look at Bring Me the Horizon. All that is, you know, just modern pop with some guitars.
Yeah, see, so it's not bad.
It's not a bad thing.
If there was one band that you guys could tour with, who would it be?
It would be Clutch, I think, which we've toured with them before, but I would just forever go on tour with Clutch. They're my favorite band, you know, and I don't know. That's what inspired me and Brandon to start Crobot, was our love for Clutch, and yeah, probably them until the end of time.
When you toured with them, did you just, like, lose it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was trying to be cool, but I was so green, and the band was so new. That was the first big, like, national tour we had done. And we were just probably annoying, noxious little idiots, you know. And so, but they were super sweet to us. They have been doing it for a long time, and they're all dads. And, you know, now we're in different spaces. And we understand, like, you know, not everyone has time or wants to be surrounded by shenanigans. And even us, like, we don't want to be like that all the time either. There's a time and a place. So, but, you know, they do it for the love of music, and so do we. You know, we love playing our instruments. We love, you know, that's the driving force of everything. It's not like fame or money or girls or getting drunk, and, you know, I mean, it's all fun and great, but it's really, they share that love of just actually playing and, you know, music. It's not a pretentious thing.
Mm-hmm. So I was reading that this album was different because you guys had to record it live and all in sync versus, you know, each track for each instrument. What was that experience like?
Well, it was like the way we did it was we did one song at a time. Usually, like when you record a record, you'll do a week of drums, a week of guitars, a week of vocals. So mm-hmm. one person goes through the whole record and plays all their parts and gets it done, and then you move on. In this record, like, we recorded we recorded the song in the room, and then we went back, recorded drums, and then I put guitars on it, and we finished the song, like one song a day, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do that, it just, it makes things more creative. Everyone's creativity is focused on one song as opposed to numerous songs. So your focus is, it comes out a more creative product, I think. When you record all your parts at once, whether you realize it or not, like sometimes you're playing the same little lick, you know, in some of these parts, just because it's in your brain, you know,
yeah.
Or the same drum fill is played a few times because you're recording it all at once. This leaves for separation, and I think that's how we've wanted to do it for a long time.
Do you think now that you've done it, that's how you're going to do it from now on?
Well, I mean, I think it just depends on the producer. If we are working with a bigger producer, we're paying that person a lot of money to have a product that they know how to get. So we, you know, at that point we take that trust from that person, you know, and that's sort of why we did this with Jay Rustin is like, that's how he does records and that's mm-hmm. how he has success with that. So we're always open to learning and trying new things with different people. You know, but with Jay, it was, you know, a lot of learning. As working with any new person, you know, you learn a lot and have a different outlook at the end of it.
Awesome. I mean, I can hear that chemistry. Not that I'd probably be able to pick it out from the other albums, but I think there is something to playing together as a unit, and
yeah,
I can imagine if you're just playing your part like straight through, you'd probably just, you know, try to power through it and it's monotonous.
Yeah, I mean there is a it feels alive, you know. You can really go back and granted, the production on this, there's a wall of sound from the guitars and the drums, but it's basically done with one performance. We really, I mean, there's a few parts where there's overdubs and stuff, but they're really tucked in there. But the main, you know, as most Crobot records are, I really try to, like, keep it all to one performance, make sure that it's powerful with one guitar because, I mean, you know, I'm the only guitar player. We have Brandon playing guitar on one song, and that was just because it sounded empty without, you know, with just one guitar, so we had to do it, and that's Goldman. But, you know, he just plays in the choruses.
Does he play or does that song get performed, and then does he play?
Yeah. Yeah, he plays live. We do that, and yeah, mainly because that song's, you know, really resonated with people as it, you know, as we put it on record and put it out there. It's probably going to be the second single, and it was our tribute to Chris Cornell. So it's a meaningful song. It's definitely has a more serious tone than most Crobot songs. And yeah, I mean, it was our tip of the hat and like thank you to Chris Cornell.
Which song was that?
Golden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he left such a legacy.
Yeah, I mean, Audioslave, Soundgarden, his solo stuff, I mean, all of it is some of our favorite records of all time. And to this day, we still listen to those records, you know, and it, you know, him and Taylor Hawkins, that really hurt us, you know, hit us hard. It's interesting how someone you've never met has such an influence on you.
Yeah. Yeah, just having that conversation this week that Taylor Hawkins was, Foo Fighters is my favorite band, but so he, of course, was the celebrity death that I've taken the hardest.
It's tough. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and wrap up. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but is there anything else that you'd like to say to our readers or to your fans?
I mean, just thanks. You know, we're just out here trying to have fun and make music, and you know, they're the ones that make it happen for us. So thank you so much, and we can't wait to see everyone on the road.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and congrats on the new record, and you know, hopefully we'll see you on tour
soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.